Today's scripture reading will come from Hebrews verses 1 through 4. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he has made the world, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged all our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
So this morning, some of you have already been oh, it's got no batteries in it at all. That could cause a problem. Some of you have a sheet in front of you. Some of you don't have a sheet, but you can pick one up from Michael or myself after the sermon this morning on your way out the door. We will have that sheet available in our hand. But that has to do with our theme for next year. And it's going to be the man in the mirror, and as you can see, we're kind of going to take a four-step approach, and it's going to be broken down into quarters, but you don't have to remember what each quarter was, because they should build upon themselves to where it will make sense in this four-step process. Well, what we want you to do with that sheet, if at all possible, is to return that to Michael or myself by next Sunday, and if there's anything that maybe a class or maybe something online that would be helpful for you, or something daily that would be helpful to keep you focused on that task. We want to try to do that if at all possible, feasible. So we want your input and your opinion on that. So just get that back to one of us by next Sunday. That being said, let's get into our lesson. If you watch any sporting events, and I watch a lot of sporting events, there's a series of commercials that's been going by AT&T. And you got the adult guy, right, and he's sitting at that little preschool table with those four little kids all around. And he's asking very simple questions. And one of the questions is, which one is faster? And a tortoise or a hare? And, well, the hare is faster. Unless the turtle is on the back of a cheetah, right? And then he just goes on, it gets all crazy. Well, a lot of times we ask very similar questions. Which one is better? Which one is faster? Which one should I buy? Do you know that happens with people too? Who's better? What team should I root for? Who is better? Etc. But it happens in Scripture with people. The Jews asked Jesus, and they said, "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead? And the prophets are dead." And he was making himself to be greater than that. "Who do you make yourself out to be? Are you greater than Abraham and the prophets?" And Jesus says, as you remember, "I am." What we want to see this morning is that Jesus is, and maybe the word should be best, but Jesus is better than all of these other things, than all of these other people. And the book of Hebrews is all about Jesus is better. So I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews if you're not there from the scripture reading. And this morning we're really going to lay the groundwork for our practical lesson tonight about what this means to us. But Jesus is better. I want you to put yourself in a situation that you are a Jew. And you have been a Jew for a long time serving the law of Moses. Your father did it. Your grandfather did it. Your great-grandfather did it. but you've come to Christ. And you're now a Christian. And you got all of this old history, and you've got all of these things that your family used to do. And you're getting persecuted for being a Christian. People are dying. People are being thrown into prison. People are having their lands and their property taken away from them because they're Christians. And they're saying, is Jesus really the best thing out there? Wouldn't it be easier? Wouldn't it be better to go back? Well, the book of Hebrews is saying, no. It would be the opposite of better. It would be the worst thing that could happen to you. And the reason is because Jesus is better. He begins in chapter 1, as we've just seen. He is better in verse 4 than the angels. Now, aren't we kind of mystified by angels? Are there angels? Do angels still exist today? What about all these spirits? And we're like, yeah, angels, angels. And then when we read about them in the Bible, we read that, man, they kill 185,000 in one night, and they can scare donkeys, and they can do all of these amazing things, and they can kill a whole nation of firstborn males all in one night. And when all humans saw them, they fell in fear, fake Mary and some of the others. I mean, man, angels are awesome. Oh yeah, by the way, angels, where are they at? They're in the presence of God. In Isaiah 6, you have these angels, and they are crying out, holy, holy, holy. And they're at the throne of God. And we say, man, how awesome that would be. Oh yeah, not to mention, they're given the message by God to give to somebody else. They're important. They're awesome. And the Hebrew writer begins by saying, Jesus has a more excellent name than them. Why? Why is it? Philippians 2 tells us that Jesus' name is exalted above all names, right? Because He humbled Himself. He is greater than the angels. You know what the angels are commanded to do? Look at verse 5 of chapter 1. Or verse 6. He says, and again, He brings forth the firstborn into the world. He says, let all the angels of God worship Him. The angels are commanded to worship Jesus. They're not on equal plans. Jesus more excellent than them. And notice what it says at verse 13. But to which of the angels in verse 13 has He ever said, that's the Lord saying to him, sit at My right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. You ever promised that to the angels? You ever say, hey, go deliver a message, and then, hey, just come and sit here and just wait until I defeat all your enemies for you? He doesn't say that, does he? You know what he says? Read the next verse, verse 14. Are they, and that's angels, are they not ministering spirits sent forth to minister, the idea is to serve those who will inherit salvation? That's you. That's me. The angels are sent for our benefit. They're not greater than Jesus. Don't worship them. Listen to them. Well, maybe listen to them. Who does He now speak through? Verse 2. He now speaks through His Son. Angels are to worship Him. You might say, Wes, what does this have to do with us today? You know what some people do when it comes to when they want to make something right or something wrong? I have these dreams at night. And I'll say, a vision. I had this vision. I think it was an angel. And this angel told me I need to do this. And this angel told me I need to do that. And this angel. Remember what Paul says about if an angel from heaven preach anything than the gospel that I have preached to you in Galatians chapter 1, what does that happen to that angel? Let him be accursed. If we get all caught up in mystified things and, an angel spoke to me, or maybe an angel is speaking to me, is it the same as what's written right here in the text? Because if it is any different than what is written in your text, it is not from God, but it is one of maybe the devil's angels. Remember what hell is prepared for? The devil and his angels, Matthew 25. Don't just follow into that. Jesus is better, I'm going to use the word, the good angels, the servants of God. Don't get wrapped up in that. Jesus is better. He goes on to chapter 3. In chapter 3, he begins by talking about Jesus being the high priest. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But Jesus, he is greater in verse 3. For this one has been counted more worthy, or counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he built the house, is better than the honor of the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. Now, why would the Jews go back to Moses? He brought them out of Egypt. He gave them the law. He was their leader for many, many years. And notice what the Bible says about Moses. It's not that Moses was not worthy of glory and Moses was not worthy of honor. He's able to persuade God to not destroy the people. Notice what it says about him, verse 5. Moses indeed was faithful. He did his job in all his house as a servant. But Christ, verse 6, as a son of his own house. It doesn't take us long to figure out if we examine those two things, right? Who's better in your house? You got a house. Your kid or the lady who cleans your house? The kid, right? The son is the one you love the most. Are they both very important? Yes. Are they both very valuable? Yes. But which one would you take? I'd take the son every time. The son has more honor than the servant. The servant is not the greatest. Don't go back to Moses. Jesus is worthy of more honor and more glory than even Moses. And Moses is a terrific man. But Jesus is more glory. Go back to chapter 3 and verse 1. Jesus is not only better than the angel, he's not only better than Moses, but Jesus is better than the high priest. In verse 1, and you might think it's weird that Jesus is called a high priest. I find it amazing how many times in the book of Hebrews, Jesus is called high priest. It is many, many times, and I'll have some of the references up here. But it is many times. In chapter 3, verse 1, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle, or the one sent, and high priest of our confession. And who is that? Christ Jesus. So what he's saying is, he says, hold on. Think about Jesus right now. He'll say that multiple times. He'll say that in chapter 12. Just think about Jesus for a second. Think about him as high priest, okay? What role did the high priest have? The high priest had the role of offering the sacrifice for the sins of the people every year on the Day of Atonement. He was the lucky one, the only one, who could enter into the most holy place. The place where the Ark of the Covenant was. The place where the presence of God was represented. How often could he go in there? One day a year. That's an honor. I imagine they probably would have been fighting over who's going to get to do it, in a sense. Because everyone wants to be a part of that special honor and special glory. I want you to see, Jesus is a great high priest. Go to chapter 4. And here's why Jesus is even greater than these other high priests in many ways. Verse 14. Seeing that we have a great high priest, notice what he's done, who has passed through the heavens. We're not talking about a physical temple here. He's in the heavens. Which is better? Temple building or heaven? Heaven. He's passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, and let us hold fast our confession. Now, why else is he so great? For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all tempted as we, yet without sin. That's what makes him so great. He's in heaven, and he's just like you and me. He is tempted or was tempted just like you and me. So what's the difference? He didn't sin. Could the other high priest have sympathized with us in our weaknesses? Could they have understood what it was like to be tempted? Yep. But did they sin? Yes, they did. And so later in the book, chapter 9, chapter 10, they had to offer a sacrifice for themselves first, and then for the sins of the people. Jesus didn't have to do that, did he? He didn't have to purify himself, but as chapter 1 and verse 3 said, after making a purification for our sins. And which one is better? He didn't have to do that. Chapter 7, verse 26. I forgot I had it up there. You can go back and you can read that. But that is what they did every single year. Notice what it said about Jesus. For such a high priest was fitting for us. He was right for us. Why? Because he's holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And has become higher than the heavens. Man, oh man. It doesn't get any better. And he did not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all when he offered up himself. And that gets us to why is he better? Well, I wish we were done there. But he didn't take the honor upon himself. In chapter 5, it says he did not take this glory upon himself. But as it says, and I want you to read verse 4. No man takes his honor to himself. The honor of high priest, God chose him. But he was called by God. So also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest. But it was him who said, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." And he says in another place, and here's the promise. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. You know what is said about these other priests? Go back to chapter 7 right there. I didn't read verse 28, but notice what happened to Aaron, what happened to his sons, what happened to their son, what happened to their son, what happened to their son. You know what they all did? They all died. They couldn't be priests forever. Verse 28, for the law appoints high priests as men who have weakness. But the word of the Lord, which came after the law, appoints the Son who has been perfected forever. This is what it was meant to be the whole time. And the Hebrew writer would say, it wasn't about the Levitical priesthood. That was good. But if it had been the best, it would not have been said, you're a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Would you rather be a priest for 25 years or a priest forever? Which is better? The one who is forever. finally with the priesthood. You know where he is? Where he is doing his ministry? He's at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We saw that in chapter 1, verse 4. After making purification for our sins, verse 3, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty. Notice this in chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Now this is the point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the Majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected, not man. Those of us who have been in our Sunday night study, and the kids are going through it now, of the building of the temple with Solomon, and how the temple in Jerusalem was so magnificent, and it was so glorious, and the glory of the Lord filled that place. Did the Lord ever say that was His dwelling place? Where did He dwell? The Lord dwells in the heavens. Heaven is His throne. And where is our great high priest? Is he in a building that was destroyed, as some of us read this morning, in 587, 586 B.C.? Or in 70 A.D.? No. He's in the house, not built by man, but by God, in the heavens. There's no better place to be than right in the presence of God on behalf of the people. He's so much greater. He's at the right hand. And just notice how many times He says it. He's there. And He is ministering in the place. But I want you to see chapter 10. And I want you to see verse 12. Jesus had a mission. And His mission was to purify the people. And when He finished, then He was exalted in verse 12. After He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, He sat down at the right hand. And that gets us to Jesus is not only better than the angels. Jesus is not only better than Moses. Jesus is not only better than the high priest. But Jesus is better than the sacrifice that any of the priests could have offered. Why is that? He offered it once. And what did He offer? He offered Himself. But notice what it said about these animal sacrifices. Look at verse 11 of chapter 10. And every priest stands ministering how often? Daily. There were animals that were killed every single day for the people. Repeatedly. The same sacrifices. Which can never take away sin. They could still be offering those animals all day long, every day, just as they had been doing, but they would never take away the sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, and he's waiting for his enemies. Is one better or is countless better that can never accomplish the purpose? You ever feel that way? Your wheels are spinning. You're doing all this work. You're doing all this stuff. And it's just not accomplishing what you think it's supposed to accomplish. Those sacrifices were pointing to Christ. They reminded the people of their sin every year. They could never take it away. Jesus offered once. And how much greater is His blood? Look at chapter 9. But Christ, He came as high priest of good things to come. Yeah, good. With greater and more perfect temple, not made with hands, that is out of this creation. And it's not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained an eternal redemption. You know what the priest had to do in order to be clean to go into the most holy place? He offered the blood of that lamb. You know what Jesus did to be able to go into the most holy place? He offered himself, his blood. For if the blood of bulls and goats, verse 13, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling unclean sanctifies, purifying the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The idea of service probably to minister like the priest. He cleansed us to minister to God. How awesome is that? The animal sacrifices can never do it. We know that without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. But he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself one time. Doesn't beat that. Jesus is not only better than the angels, better than Moses, better than the high priest, better than the sacrifice that the priest could offer. But you know who would be maybe the most important person in the land of Israel? The shepherds. The shepherds were often known as the kings, weren't they? And we often call them shepherd kings. David was a shepherd king. He was actually a shepherd of sheep, but he was a shepherd of the people, a leader of the people. Well, the book of Hebrews closes. And I've skipped over this a billion times, and this idea of how much better Jesus is. I want you to see the description that is given of Jesus in verse 20 as he closes out in chapter 13 of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What is Jesus called? The great shepherd of the sheep. Didn't we spend a lot of time talking about that in John chapter 10? I am the good shepherd. What is it that made him the great shepherd of the sheep? He laid down his life for the sheep. And God raised him and has elevated him. You know why Jesus is better? Look at chapter 2 and verse 9. Remember the first point we said he was better than the angels? Well, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. So he's a little below them. Okay, done. For the suffering of death, he's crowned with glory and honor that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Why does he get all this glory? Why does he get to sit at the right hand? Why does he get the crown of glory and honor? Why is he called all of this? Because he died for you and for me. Why is he the great shepherd? He laid down his life and he was raised from the dead. Why? Chapter 12. And this is honestly where the thought of the sermon came from. And it just just took a whole other direction once I got studying. Looking unto Jesus. Remember what we said a minute ago? Consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, the Son of God. Here he says, look to Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If Jesus had looked at the wrong thing, if he had looked at the external circumstances of the difficulty of the cross, the pain of the cross, the injustice or the injustice that he had done no wrong of the cross. You know what he might have said? Not me. Somebody else did. But for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. Means he didn't think anything about the shame that was going to come to him, because curses every man that hangs on a tree. I don't care about that. I care about the people whose sins need to be forgiven. So he offered himself once, for all time, forever, so that we could be purified. That is why Jesus is better than the angel. Angel died for you? That's why Jesus is better than Moses. Moses died for you. Jesus is better than the high priest. Did the high priest die for you? Jesus is better than the animals. That animal willingly died for you? Jesus is better. Don't you this morning want to honor the great shepherd of the sheep? Don't you want to be a part of this ministry, this family of the greatest thing possible? Why don't you become a Christian? Why don't you die to your sins in baptism and be raised to walk in newness of life? And you can be a part of something better. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. It's because of what Jesus has done, but the Hebrew writer is saying, you're a part of something better. Now live like it. That's what we're going to focus on. Don't you want to do that? Won't you come now as we stand and as we sing?